Samphire Lighthouse guided ships to the entrance of Tralee Bay past dangerous rocks. The name comes from Saint-Pierre, which means St. Peter's plant. Fiend Pier is connected to another rock called Samphire Island, on top of which now stands the statue of St. Brendan, patron saint of Kerry. The building of the lighthouse started in 1849 and it started operating in 1854. A house was built for the keepers and their families. Their wives were assistant keepers. The keepers were replaced regularly. Between 1862 and 1945, believe it or not, there were 37 different keepers. Some of them only spent a year and a few months. Some of them spent 3 years. The census of 1901 tells us that at that time, a keeper, his wife, and 7 children lived in the Samphire. In 2011, census, there was a keeper, his wife, and a teenage daughter. When weather permitted, the children were ferried to the village, and from there they walked to Chapeltown School, which would have been a distance of about maybe 2 miles and back. When the lighting system went automatic in 1956, there was no further need for keepers, so it was closed. So it really operated as a manned station from 1854 to 1956, roughly 100 years. There was no further need for keepers. After that, the attendants were responsible for the lighting system and the maintenance of the buildings. Each lighthouse had its own unique system of flashes and signals. The ships knew this. And then the lighting system, which went automatic in 1956, was powered by acetylene cylinders, which had to be conveyed from the mainland by boat. My late father, Dan Crawley, was involved for many years in ferrying those cylinders to the lighthouse. An electrical system was installed in 1976. The light was charged by a battery, which was charged by a diesel Lister charger. In addition to the keeper, there was a lighthouse attendant whose duties were to bring post and provisions to the station. With automation in 1956, this attention ceased as there was no further need for keepers. The attendant now supervised the operation of the light and the maintenance of the station and its buildings. The commissioners of Irish Lights were responsible for the manning, paying, maintenance of the station and its buildings. Thomas Crowley of Tallaght, who now lives in Tallaght, was the last attendant at the Samphire. He served from 2001 to 2010. He was the fourth generation of the Crowley family of Tallaght who served as attendants. Before him, there was his great-grandfather, I think was called Thomas Crowley, his grandfather Thomas, and his wife, the assistant keeper Johanna, whom I believe was no mean operator, and his father, Michael Joe. And then in 2010, the Samphire station was decommissioned and handed over to Kerry County Council. It is now, I suppose, a museum building. But it operated, it was manned from 1854 to 1956. And I have a list of the keepers, but some of them only spent maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years. They were rotated regularly.
And were they all from Phoenix?
No. They came from other stations. Matter of fact, I recognise very few of the names. Some of the names are very far. They didn't. They went from station to station. It was a very demanding job. And then they had attendance. And look all the way. The last name I hear for Joseph McGowan, who was there for 2 years, 1943 to 1946. I don't know who came after 1946, but then there was another 10 years before it was closed as a manned station.
Rock samphire is a wild green paranoid vegetable in the carrot family, found in coastal environments. Rock samphire can be eaten raw or cooked and can be found in abundance in Fianna. It can be cooked raw in a salad, but it's very salty. Or it can be eaten raw in a salad, but it can be cooked, which is probably the preferred way to eat it. Common samphire is thought to be derived from the French word Saint-Pierre, or herb de Saint-Paris is said to be named after the patron saint of mariners, given its use by sailors to weed off scurvy, which is a vitamin C deficiency. It's swelling and bleeding in the body, and it's bleeding in the gums, and you can lose teeth from it. And the rock samphire has 30 times more vitamin C than oranges. So, like, that's how powerful a plant it is. And the character of the light, flashes every 5 seconds. So you got a flash for 1 second, and then it goes dark for 4 seconds, and then it flashes for 1 second again and goes dark continuously, and it can be seen for 16 nautical miles. The white light denotes safe passage for vessels entering the harbour. The red and green light denotes unsafe waters. So if you're in the white, if you're in the red or green light, you have to veer back onto the white light. So even though that you might have navigation and satellites and radars and all this, that doesn't mean that these things work at all times. So when you're entering the bay, once you have see the light, the white light, you're in safe waters and you can steam right into the harbour. Then there was, in 1887, there was a rescue. The crew of a shipwrecked sailing vessel was landed by a lighthouse keeper called W.G. Kennedy. They were in Barrow Harbour. They were shipwrecked and they had aboard the lifeboats. They rowed towards the lighthouse and they were exhausted and wet and tired, and they were taken on board the lighthouse by the lighthouse keeper.
So my name is Rory Patry. I live in Rochester, New York in the United States. And I have family that is from the Phoenix area, and at one point in time, I have a relative who became the caretaker of the Phoenix Lighthouse.
What is that like for you to have a connection to Phoenix, even though you're all the ways in New York?
I've always felt drawn to the water, and now I really feel like there's a spiritual connection to the sea and to Phoenix and to the lighthouse. Is actually my second time going, not only to Phoenix but to the lighthouse. I was there for the first time in 2018, but I feel very connected not only to the town but to the people there. And it also seems like every time I go over, I run into somebody on the street and we get to talking, and they're somehow a relation of mine. So it's extended my family connection, having been out to Phoenix and Samphire Island as well. I feel like I'm stepping into a piece of not only my history, but of history altogether, with how important Samphire Island was to the shipping trade in Southern Kerry. It seems it's very safe, welcoming, beautiful, and it brings out not only a lot of feelings of that shared family history, but also in 2018, we did a family reunion and we all went out to Little Samphire Island, and my uncle was able to come with us. And that was actually a few months before he passed. So that was, Samphire was the last place I actually saw my uncle alive.
And what was that like?
So there's, I didn't think it was going to be as hard as it was, but I got there with my wife a couple weeks ago and it was tough, but it was beautiful to have that memory of him there.
I was a tour guide for Kerry County Council, and I look after the lighthouse and I do the guided tours for them. It's great to bring people out there and show them a little bit of history that's just sitting off the mainland here in Phoenix. The lighthouse there has been up there since 1854, so it's been there quite a long time, and it's still operating. The lighthouse still works to this day, and it's now solar power where it was at the beginning. The lighthouse keeper would have having to put oil in the burner every night to keep the light going.
When you bring people out on tours and whatnot, what are their experiences like? How are they reacting?
It's a trip. It's a sea trip for them first in a boat out to the lighthouse. Then to get off there and you're on kind of an isolated lighthouse, you kind of would think yourself, you know, you're off the mainland, so you're kind of isolated from the mainland, and it's different than a lighthouse that would be on the mainland itself, simply because it is an island, I suppose. But the fact remains that you're looking into people's past, where people would have lived there years ago, and they were not 100% isolated, but on a during the winter months, like with storms and everything else, that you would be isolated to a certain point. And when people lived out there, there was absolutely no electricity, no running water. So there was no phones or anything like that back when the keeper was there. The favourite part of the tour is giving people the information that they really want. Taking them up into the lantern room and showing them exactly what the keeper would have done all those years ago. He would have come out there, climbed the tower, climbed up his little steps and lit the wick on the oil lamp years ago. Like, this is going back years ago.
And how many years are you doing it?
I'm doing it now, I'd say, more than 10 years. And if anybody wants to come out there, it's a fantastic place to visit because the views from up the top of the tower are unbelievable. Up north, you've got Kerry Head, and out west, then you've got Maori Islands, and up to the east, you can see Tralee Town and the windmill.
My name is Mary O'Brien Brown. I'm one of the tour operators with Kerry Colleen, Tralee Bay Experience Finnish with my husband, and I also work as a nurse in the Bonds in Tralee. So Little Samphire Island is our harbour light to guide vessels to the entrance of Tralee Bay, and it's past a significant amount of dangerous outer rocks. This island lies a half a mile off the nearest part of the mainland, which is 0.8 kilometres west of Finnish. The history of the lighthouse is that Trinity House gave the sanction in February 1848, providing it was only a harbour light, and plans were submitted the following week by Inspector Halpin, and the board agreed that through the Law Agent ground should be purchased. By the 20th of July 1848, the Law Agent reported that an inquisition was to be held in Killarney on the 18th of August. Early in October, a further report by the Law Agent detailed the result of the inquisition's jury, which valued the land at £85.6, which was divided among a number of people. The height of the natural bluish limestone tower is 13.5 metres, 44 feet, and the height of the light above high water is 17 metres, 56 feet. The station was designed by Inspector Halpin and built by the board's tradesmen. A single dwelling house, the principal keeper, his wife acting as a female assistant keeper, and any family that they may have. A local curragh from Finnish attended the station two or three times per week. The light was changed from fixed to group oculating on the 1st of January 1911, following a request from the Finnish Pier and Harbour Commissioners for improvement of the light. A clockwork spring-driven oculating machine gave a character to the light of 11 seconds light, 3 seconds dark, 3 seconds flash and 3.0 second dark. A further change, this time to the sectors, was requested by a member of the Imperial Merchant Service Guild. A green sector was added on the 29th of May 1931 to cover Muckluck Moor, one of the biggest rocks out in the bay, and other rocks to its east. Following a recommendation by the inspecting committee in July 1952 to install an experimental acetylene light with a view to converting the station subsequently to an automatic unwatched. The light was converted from oil to acetylene on the 15th of December 1954 until using dissolved acetylene stored in six cylinders and a mantle burning in the lens. The character was changed from a group oculating to a single flash of 1 second every 5 seconds. The sectoring remained unaltered. On the 2nd of January 1956, the principal keeper was withdrawn. The station came under the care and supervision of Mr. M.J. Crowley as a part-time attendant lightkeeper living on the mainland. In September 1971, the Tralee and Finnish Pier and Harbour Commissioners advised the Commissioners of Irish Lights that many ships' captains reported an appreciable drop in the power of the light on Little Samphire Island. The mantle burners and the apparatus were overhauled, but apparently made very little improvement. The Deputy Engineer-in-Chief visited the station in 1972 and came to the conclusion that the trouble was from an increased shore background light swamping the light, and therefore conversion to electric was the answer. At first, either an over or underwater ESP cable was considered, but the inspecting committee of 1972 decided against this. So two twin diesel generating sets charged a battery during daytime, and the 500 watt, 100 volt lamp runs off the battery at night. The light was converted from acetylene to electric on the 28th of October 1976, and the character of the light was unchanged, flashing white, red, green every 5 seconds. The sectors were altered in conjunction with the electrification, and work to modernise the lighthouse carry out repairs to the building. So I suppose this is, you know, Samphire Lighthouse in Venet, and I suppose undoubtedly the 19th century was the golden age of lighthouse development in the British Isles, and particularly in Ireland.
Well, my name's Dermot Crowley, and I worked with McCowan's all my life in Tralee, and they were major importers to the Port of Finet, and we had a seat on the Harbour Board. And when Frank King, the managing director of McCowan's, passed away, I was appointed onto the Tralee and Finet Harbour Commissioners, and I served there for 25 years. So during that time, the Commissioner of Irish Lights decided to change the role of the lighthouses all over the country due to advances in technology, and that, you know, the lighthouses were no longer needed as much as they were prior to that. And they were able to put in navigational aids, which sort of did away with the lighthouses as such, and they rationalised them. Now, they kept some of the key ones, Fastnet and Kish Lighthouse, and those, they were kind of key, but the smaller ones like Finet, they decided to not engage them anymore once there was a beacon on the rock to help the ships in that. So at that time they looked at disposing of the lighthouses, and they asked us would we be interested in taking it over. Now, what we felt at that time was that if we didn't have an interest in it, that they might sell it to private enterprise. And we felt it would be an awful loss to the people of Finet and to the locality, because the lighthouse is associated with Finet since the famine times, really. So Brian Sullivan, who was the chairman that time, and myself, we went up and we met Captain Kieran O'Higgins, who was the head of Marine in the Commissioner of Irish Lights, and we negotiated with him for the transfer of the lighthouse, put it under the control of the Tralee and Finet Harbour Commissioners, and he was delighted to do that because he felt it would be in safe hands. Now, the Harbour Commissioners at the time were a bit concerned about it because they were a bit worried about the maintenance and upkeep, and there was a bit of an issue with the landing berth. Now, these things are sort of ongoing all the time, but we felt at the time that the acquisition of the lighthouse would be a major boost for Finet. Long term, I know now we're going through a recession, but I think there will be money available in the future, and I believe myself it's a wonderful asset to Finet, and I think that it can be developed. It's unique really in so far as offshore. A lot of them are onshore and they haven't the same appeal as the Finet lighthouse has. I mean, there's, as you know, there's a ferry service out to the lighthouse now, and people have enjoyed it. It's a lovely trip, really. I've been on it several times. Lovely boat trip. You get on the island itself. You can go around the see the lighthouse, and it's a wonderful atmosphere there. Mm-hmm. So I think for the future, it's going to be a great attraction for Finet if it can be developed, and I'm sure the funds will be available in time for that. Mm-hmm. And it will link in with the new walkway now from Tralee to Finet. And Finet has come on by leaps and bounds in the last 2 or 3 years. I mean, I've been associated with Finet all my life, but I've never seen such activity and a great buzz about Finet as there is at the present time. Mm-hmm. And there's wonderful people involved in the local committees that are doing great work. So that's kind of the background to how we acquired the lighthouse.
What is the future of the lighthouse?
Well, I would see it as being a major tourist attraction in time. Certainly it needs investment because the landing berth at times at low water can be difficult. If you could have access to it at all tide times, you know, it would be a big boost. No, the house is in very good nick. The Commissioners of Irish Lights were extremely careful in maintaining the houses. It was built in famine times, but the structure is perfect. it would need some decoration inside and things like that, and I'm sure that the money will become available for that. So if those issues could be resolved, something we looked at the time in the Harbour Board was extending the jetty, the landing jetty, and would cost money, no doubt about it. And we were looking at putting a pontoon on there where people could land as well at all stages of the tide, but you know, the weather is a bit of a problem in that, and you might have to take away the pontoon in the bad weather. But I think if the jetty could be extended, not a whole pile, because there's very deep water, 5 or 10 metres out from where the current jetty is, I think it would be fantastic, really.
We operate the boat, the Kerry Killeen, but it's called on Facebook and Instagram, trulybayexperience.com, and the website. So I suppose my husband and I are both from Finnish, and we're passionate about the bay, and I suppose we can see the changes over the years. I grew up in Finnish, and it was a very, very busy fishing port. You know, it was always a busy shipping area. And then I saw the change then in the 90s of it developing into a marina. And I suppose since then it's developing more so into a tourism area. So with that, I suppose in the summer months, my husband is quieter fishing usually. He's a deep sea trawler fisherman. Usually July can be a hit and miss month. So I suppose last year we were asked to buy the Kerry Killeen boat as the owners were going sailing the world, and they did. So we bought the boat, and we were quite nervous at the start, to tell the truth, because we didn't know what we were facing into, really. And like, as I say, I work as a nurse and as a fisherman, so tourism is a whole different ballgame. But we've loved every minute of it. We had Neville Maguire, and we'd RT out, and with Seascapes as well. So we've had loads of different adventures with her. You know, and all of a sudden now I see her as more of a fun boat at this stage. You know, and I, like as I was saying earlier, I'd feel every child living in the village, you know, they shouldn't look at the shore and look at the lighthouse. They should actually experience it themselves, you know. So, you know, the scouting groups and stuff, you know, we'd be advocating for them. We've had a number of schools onto us about visiting as well, you know. So I suppose I have a long line of history of looking at it. And I suppose my grandmother was picking carrageen and periwinkles and stuff years ago. You know, the lighthouse was always consistent. She's always been there, you know, so...